Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Congressman Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut, 2nd District. So, tell me, we see the omnibus spending bill and its impacts beginning to unfold. How does it affect Connecticut?
I think the reviews are coming in over the weekend, and they've been very positive and very strong. From a global standpoint, just having the threat of a government shutdown, which the omnibus completely now removes, that the government will be funded beyond January 15th, which was the drop dead date that was in the government reopening vote back in October, and really creating a 2-year horizon. I think that's going to have like a psychic benefit for the U.S. economy, that at least one issue in Washington that threatens people's confidence is now removed. Obviously, we got the debt limit, and the batter circle, and personally, if we've passed a budget which has built into it some deficit, which this one does, every person who voted for that budget, those spending bills, should, in my opinion, be automatically voting to increase the Treasury's authority to sell paper to pay the bills. But, it's such a highly politicized issue. We'll see how that unfolds. But so that's a very good thing. I mean, secondly, there's been, I think, some good news as far as, some of the I think, most vulnerable people who took a hit through sequestration, which is the Head Start slots that were cut, are going to be restored. Pell grants not only are protected, but actually are going to get a slight boost going into next year. Those are, I think, really, in my opinion, the long-term investments that help our country, prosper. In specific terms, stabilizing the defense budget is a big deal in my district. Again, I have the largest operating military facility in New England with the Groton subbase, and the shipbuilding account actually got a boost because, frankly, they're doing good stuff down there at Electric Boat and Huntington Ingalls Shipyard in terms of producing submarines ahead of schedule and under budget. The New York Times actually did a story about what's going on in Asia right now with our allies, who are very, very concerned about China's very aggressive claims as far as an economic zone that's way outside normal international boundaries and water rights, and they're actually starting to build their own undersea fleets, and we're talking Philippines, Japan, Malaysia, Vietnam. Again, the shipbuilding account that we stabilized in the omnibus is not a Reagan buildup, but it just simply stabilizes the fleet size so that, we're going to still be, I think, able to help our allies make sure that sea lanes stay open and that there's going to be regular international procedures for, peaceful economic trade that, is almost exclusively done at sea. If anyone saw the movie Captain Phillips,
saw it.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was just, a kind of a good educational tool to remind people about how goods and services move around in this world. 95% of it is done by sea, and keeping the commons of the sea open, I think, is a very important mission for our Navy, and it's in my opinion, it's a peaceful mission. So anyway, on balance, I think Connecticut did well, but the country did well in terms of just, again, removing, one of these ridiculous threats to, try and extract changes to the Affordable Care Act or, some ridiculous austerity agenda, which I think most economists said, really held back growth over the last couple of years.
So as Elmer Fudd might have said, what happened? In other words, something changed.
Well, again, something, I think, though, if you look at the vote closely, there were, I think it was 67 or 68 no votes in the House. There were 3 Democrats in that group, and the rest were all Republicans. Now, if you do the math, the Republican caucus is 232. 218 is the magic number to pass a budget or any bill. And once again, Speaker Boehner was unable to deliver the goods, which, whether it's the Albany legislature or the Hartford legislature or your local town council, the governing caucus, I mean, it's almost, you know, politics 101, that you've got to be the one that, you know, controls these sort of fundamental questions of passing budgets, you know, rules, et cetera. And we still, I don't want to get too giddy here. I mean, we still got a very unstable cast of characters in the majority in the House. And when we voted to reopen the government back in October, which, again, was a bipartisan vote, 144 House Republicans voted no, still at that point, after 17 days of shutdown and all the warning signals about default. So, you know, looking ahead, again, the debt limit is still a big question mark about whether or not, you know, Boehner is going to allow a functioning majority as opposed to his own caucus to control the terms of raising the debt ceiling. You know, we've got stuff that is just so obvious that we should be voting on, whether it's, you know, immigration reform, you know, trying to get an unemployment extension. I mean, the minimum wage issue, which there is majority support in the House for, I really believe that. I mean, it's mostly our guys, but there's enough on their side that we could get that done. So, you know, this is still going to be a bumpy ride for the rest of the 113th Congress.
You know, I've often wondered, Joe Courtney, about, you know, how wicked this political game gets. I mean, after all, when the Republicans try to shut down the government, as they have found, they really get their behinds kicked.
Yeah.
And so it's, in fact, turns out, even though everybody denies it, to be good politically for the Democrats, because it is a, you know, a zero-sum game. Somebody wins and somebody loses. So therefore, do you have to, as a congressman, think both ways? Think logistically and say, oh, well, this will be good for our getting our majority back, as opposed to this would be bad for the country?
Well, I'm still kind of, I don't know, innocent or naive or whatever to believe that good policy is good politics in terms of my own decisions about how I vote and the kind of work that I do in committee, et cetera. So, you know, I actually think that, you know, when they finally surrendered on reopening the government and surrendered on getting a budget deal done and the spending bill done, you know, there's still a lot for us to talk about in the 2014 election. Again, I'm very skeptical that, you know, these that a minimum wage issue is going to get anywhere with these guys. And, you know, looking at Mayor de Blasio's platform on income inequality, I think that is such a powerful issue out there. That, and these guys are setting themselves up in a really bad place by stonewalling, you know, those kinds of basic, in my opinion, decency.
You're talking about the Republicans now.
Yeah. And, you know, and the unemployment extension, which looked like it was on track for a couple days in the Senate, now, you know, incredibly, looks like it's going to be diverted. My guest, by the way, for the State of the Union is a woman from East Haddam, Connecticut, in my district. She is a woman in her 50s, worked her whole life, got laid off last April, two sons in the military, served in the Middle East. You know, paid her taxes. She's out aggressively looking for work. Her benefits got cut off on December 31st. And you know, sometimes, you know, the right wing media try to portray unemployment extensions as just, you know, enabling, you know, slaggards or whatever. But I mean, this woman is, you know, true blue American middle class, hardworking individual. It's a tough economy still out there, and raising or extending unemployment insurance when you've got labor markets that whose rate is higher than 6% has been standard operating procedure in any prior recession. Again, this extension that we're talking about is not for the whole country. There are, you know, states in the U.S. where the unemployment rate's down to 4%, and you know, it's not necessary.
So just for clarification, Joe, it would apply only to people who are, you know, in the states that are affected by over 6%.
Okay. So Connecticut, which is still, you know, mid 7% unemployment, you know, we still have pockets of long-term unemployed people. You know, we're doing job fairs, we're doing retraining. There is some growth in job numbers, but the fact is that, you know, people need to pay their bills, and they need a lifeline until we're hitting on all cylinders. And for the Republicans to be stonewalling the unemployment extension, it's bad economics, because it takes money out of people's pockets to pay the essentials. And it's really just outrageous to treat people this poorly.
Joe Courtney, always wonderful to talk to you. When we come back tomorrow, I want to talk to you about some other political things, like the Farm Bill and immigration and NSA, okay?
Sure, be happy to.